Some of the doors that we see in life are six-panel doors. Others have eight panels, maybe five panels, but a six-panel door is a door, and you have various, almost look like little decorative parts. They're raised pieces of wood. If you've never done this, the next time you see a six-panel door, you might look very closely at it. If you look at the lower four panels, it's very easy to make out the shape of a cross. It's right there. And then if you study that six-panel door a little bit more, as you look at the upper two panels and you imagine a little bit if those two pieces were tilted a little bit, it almost looks like the upper two sections, the upper two decorative parts, form a Bible. That's not only interesting as you look at a six-panel door, it is somewhat ironic. I suspect that there are some atheists who live in homes where they have six-panel doors. Atheists may not recognize it, but scattered throughout their house, they probably have, in essence, some crosses and some Bibles, at least in symbolism, on their interior and exterior doors. This morning, we want to think about the word cross. In the American Standard Translation, we find the word cross being used 28 times, and there are a lot of things that we can learn by looking at this single word. Our first reference comes from the book of Matthew. If you have an outline, you know that the passage is going to be Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. We often think of the word cross in conjunction with Jesus' final days on the earth, and this is certainly right. But the Lord tells us that the word cross also has some special application to those who want to go to heaven. Jesus says, if we do not take up a cross, we are not worthy of him, and we will not inherit eternal life. Again, if you turn to Matthew 10, let's see what is said in verse 38. And he that doth not take his cross and follow after me, he is not worthy of me. There are, as we look at life, a lot of things that people want to take up with as they go through life. A young man might want to take up with a young woman. Or it may be a young woman. She comes to a time in life where she wants to take up with a young man. We've probably heard of people say, well, I want to retire so I can take up with fishing. I want to retire so I can take up golfing or traveling or something else. Jesus said, if we want to be a child of God, we must take up a cross. This single verse and this single word suggests that the Christian life is not going to be easy. If we're going to be a Christian, taking up a cross tells us that the Christian life that we live is going to be very difficult at times. There are going to be some things that we experience that are not a whole lot of fun. There are going to be times when we get hurt. And there are probably going to be some times where we are very discouraged. If we've been a Christian for very long, we probably can look at the people that we've known in the past and say, well, here was a person or here are several people who became a Christian or they became Christians, and this person or this group of people found the Christian life to be too hard. Jesus offers a warning before we sign on with the Christian life. He says, my way is the way, it's an important way, it's a necessary way, but it is not an easy way. Some seem to have the idea that Christianity is a life that's really a time and a way of fun and games. That's not true. And Jesus warns us about that in Matthew 10, verse 38. Jesus said, if we shirk the cross, heaven will not be our home. He not only makes this point in Matthew 10, a little bit later in Matthew's gospel, over in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, he expands on the point a bit. Here he introduces to us the word deny. There are some words that are in our culture. People do not really care for these terms, and deny is one of these words. If we want something, if we're interested in something, most will try to go out and get it. If we something appeals to us, we say, well, I'm not going to deny myself that. Self-denial is, for a lot of people, a foreign concept. But Jesus said, if we want to be one of his people, we need to not only bear the cross, Matthew 10, verse 38, but this is going to involve some form of self-denial. Things will not only not always be easy, but we may not always get our own way. Again, Matthew 16, looking at what's said in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. A few days ago, I met a young man in Florida who had to deny himself some things for about a day. He became a member of the Order of the Arrow. That's a common Boy Scout organization. Kids that are usually in their teenage years, usually about 13 to 16, are inducted into this particular organization. I was as well many years ago. The Order of the Arrow inductees are exposed to some various ceremonies and then some unusual rituals. After some evening ceremonies, candidates are dropped off at various places in the woods. They've got usually a large area, several acres, typically wooded, and they have a group, and then one by one, we're going to put you here and maybe go down a half a mile and put another child there and so forth. And each person that's dropped off, they hopefully remember the location where they put them, but each child that is dropped off, they are left with virtually no provisions. They do not receive a sleeping bag. They do not receive a tent. There's nothing, you know, to sleep on as far as plastic. And they're given, I think, maybe a raw egg, virtually no food. So the kids are supposed to sleep out there with virtually nothing, spend the night there, get through the evening the best that they can. And then the next day, they are taken to another area and they are involved with some kind of project. For me, it was we had to go out and chop wood. There was about an 8-hour period of manual labor. And during this 8-hour or so period the following day, you are not allowed to say anything unless it is an emergency. You can't say please, thank you, yes, no, my hands hurt, whatever it is. You know, it's a time that you have to be completely silent. Well, this young man had denied himself for approximately 16 hours. And yet, it's an unusual experience, and you know, by the time you don't have anything to eat, and the next day food is pretty restricted, and you can't speak for that 16-hour period, most people will remember that for several years, and this fellow, I think, is going to remember that probably for his entire life. There may be some times in life where we are denied some things, including food. Certainly, as we think about the people in Haiti right now, they are being denied some things, the basic necessities of life. There are some cases where denial occurs because certain things are beyond our control. For example, in the case of a natural disaster, we don't cause a mudslide, or we don't cause the hurricane, or we don't cause the tornado, and we suffer. But there are also some cases, such as the Boy Scout illustration, where some self-denial is self-imposed. Jesus, as he talks about self-denial in Matthew 16, verse 24, is describing a type of self-denial that is self-imposed. Unlike the order of the arrow, this self-denial that the Lord describes is not something that happens once a lifetime. This self-denial is not something that happens once a year. It's not a denial that happens two times a year or once a quarter or even monthly or even weekly. Some would say, well, if I'm going to deny myself once a week, I'm making a great sacrifice. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to take up my cross, you need to deny yourself. And you need to be willing, you need to be prepared to do that every single day. We've looked at the information in Matthew 10. We've looked at the information in Matthew 16. If you now have an outline, you'll see that we also cite what is said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. We also want to introduce this passage, and we'll do that now. And he said unto all, if any man, again, notice how universal that is. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus said the person who is his disciple says, I'm going to deny myself every single day. I'm going to pick up my cross and follow the Lord every single day. The Christian is someone who always seeks to put God and his spiritual interests first. Now, this is a very simple principle. It's also a principle that may be applied in all kinds of ways. It is a principle that can be applied to attendance. Over the years, I've met some brethren who got off work and then they came to services. People finished a work shift that was maybe just an hour or two away from the time that services started, or maybe it was a shift that ended on a Wednesday evening, just maybe an hour or two before the Wednesday evening service started, and these brethren could have said, I just got off work. I worked an 8-hour shift or a 10-hour shift or a 12-hour shift, and I'm tired. And no doubt that would be true. I want to go home and sleep. But over the years, I've met some Christians who practiced self-denial. Self-denial can also be applied to giving. Last week, I worshiped with a congregation that before the worship, they went over their budget for this year. Last year, this congregation had given approximately $45,000 to various mission works. This year, as they went through the budget, they said, we, because of the economy and things, we need to cut this amount of money in half. Instead of about $45,000, we're going to do about $22,000 in mission work. Now, that might not, surprise us. That's happened in some other places as well. But the thing that struck me as odd was after everything concluded, people milled around for a long time, and then a high percentage of the group, probably 70% of the group, at least 50, said that they were going to go out and eat. And this after lunch or after worship activity seemed to be a pretty regular thing for this group. And as I was thinking about that on the way home, I thought, once I can get my hands on a calculator, I'm going to do a little math. There were about 40 families where I worshiped last Sunday. Let's say that half of those families, about 20 families, go out to eat about 45 times a year. That would be a regular practice. And on average, those families spend about $20. If those families use that dining out money for missions, based on my calculations, they would not have had to cut the mission budget in half. Now, someone might say, well, do you mean that those people would have changed their typical Sunday behavior? Well, think again what the Lord said. Take up your cross. You need to deny yourself, and you need to be willing to do that every single day. So when we think about, would we do that every single Sunday? Yes, we would. Plus Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Self-denial is one of the easiest concepts to explain, but it is perhaps one of the more difficult to apply, and maybe one of the least applied principles in the Christian faith. Yet, as we look at the Lord's life, he says this is a fundamental part of the Christian faith. We may deny ourselves time, pleasure, or money, or an experience for the sake of the Lord. Now, someone might say, well, you know, that's all good, and there are probably some people that wouldn't mind doing that, and I probably should do it, but I'm just not going to do it. I just don't think that I really want to deny myself this or that. Well, God gives us that right. But if we make that choice, that is not a wise decision. There is another statement in Luke. This time we are pulling from a little bit later in the book, Luke chapter 14, that deals with this same topic. And this verse, like the others that we've looked at, begins with a very frightening word, whosoever. Just like any man, any person, Jesus is speaking about all people. He made a universal statement. If you've turned over to Luke 14, let's see what's said in verse 27. Whosoever doth not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. A lot of people in the world want to be one of the Lord's disciples. Jesus says, though, that for this to occur, there are some conditions that must be met. He, for example, says that it is impossible to be a child of God unless we are willing to bear a cross. Now, this verse only provides us with some general information. The preceding material that we've looked at shows that bearing the cross requires self-denial, and this must be done on a daily basis. This sounds like a real commitment. I mean, it sounds like God is going to say, there are some obligations that you have, and I expect you to meet those obligations. And that's precisely right. After the information of verse 27, Jesus went on to say this in verse 28. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, doth not first sit down and count the cost, whether he have wherewith to complete it? Jesus said, before you think about signing on with me, count the cost. Make sure you know what you're signing up for. Old preachers used to say that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and that is exactly right. Heaven will be for those people who have striven for eternal life. It is not enough to learn the truth. It's not enough to believe the truth. God's people are to do their best to live out the truth, and to do that every single day. God calls on people to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. That's what Jesus did for us. And now the Bible says we need to act in a similar manner. If the Lord were to return today and evaluate our lives, would he find any sacrifice? Imagine, if you will, the judgment scene, and people from all time are gathered before the Lord. The Jews who lived under the Old Testament could say, oh God, we offered sacrifices. I offered 200 animals in my lifetime. Those were some of the sacrifices that I offered. And God, as I went out and gleaned my field, I offered year after year the first fruit of my crops. And God says, okay. And then God turns to the Christian and says, Christian, what about you? You live not under the Old Testament, but you lived under the New Testament, a better covenant, a superior system. And as you lived your life under that new, that better system, what did you offer as a sacrifice? Did you deny yourself to live for my son? Did you seek to deny yourself every single day? I submit that there are going to be some people, perhaps a lot of people, who will hang their heads in shame, because they live for self instead of the Savior. Philippians 2:8 says that Jesus humbled himself, becoming obedient even to the point of dying on the cross. Have we demonstrated our obedience to God? Hebrews 12:2 adds that Jesus endured the grief of the cross. What have we been willing to endure in our life for the cross of Christ? We live in a time when a lot of people are not willing to endure very much for the Lord. If someone says something they don't like, I think most of us have met a Christian at one time or another where they say, that's it. I'm not going to stick with the Christian faith. Some get their feelings hurt and they say, well, that's it for me. I'm going to quit. People, some of whom are in the church, if we're in it for very long, they're going to say some awful things to us and probably do some awful things to us. This past week, I met up with a man I had not seen since 1986. Long, long time. And this fella is still preaching, doing a great work. And as I looked at him, I was immediately reminded of some of the things that he's endured for the cause of Christ, some things that were not very pleasant. Back in 1986, he told me a story that I've remembered throughout the years. He related how he was working with a small congregation, and the congregation said, "We have a preacher's house for you. It is a free house, and we want your family to stay there." He related how the first night in that house, the couple's bed fell through the floor. Bang! And you know, if you start off that way, it's probably not going to get any better. And it didn't with that particular congregation. The house was a dump, and the church was not bothered by that activity. They would not have lived in that house. They didn't want their family to live there, but well, hey, that's good enough for the preacher and for his house. You know, that man and his wife, they didn't enjoy that experience. There were a lot of other things about that particular congregation that were not pleasant for him. And yet that wife didn't pester him and say, "Oh, we've had a bad experience, let's quit." He's a capable man, done some mechanical work, done some body work, but the wife did not pressure him and say, "We need to leave behind preaching. This is just not the right way to live." They have not quit. And they've endured some other difficulties, serious difficulties, over the last 23 years, but they have persisted. Think, though, of the other Christians, many of whom we can name as we've lived our lives here and elsewhere, who've left the church for something not as bad as this. In Acts 14:22, the Bible says, "Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." We are not going to get to heaven without some bumps and some bruises, some cuts and scrapes along the way. It's just not going to work. That's why Jesus warned, you need to pick up your cross. You need to be willing to deny yourself. And you need to be willing to do that every single day. It's also the reason why in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said the way to heaven is narrow. It's going to come with some difficulties. It's tough to navigate. We're going to find some hardships along the way. And there are going to be some times as we live the Christian life that our cross is heavy. Maybe some times where we stumble. Maybe some times when we fall. But we need to get back up. There are going to be some times where we bleed and suffer. But the Bible tells us that in the end, it's all going to be worthwhile. Paul said in one of his letters, I've evaluated it. On this side of the ledger, I've looked at all the problems that come with living the Christian life. On this side of the ledger, I've looked at all the blessings that come. And he said, the blessings far outweigh the problems. In the end, everything that we endure will be worthwhile. That being said, the decision for us is we either pick up the cross of Christ and we continue to carry it every single day, or we do something else with the cross of Christ. We say, no, that's not going to be how I live. Or we pick it up and for some reason, we set it back down. This morning, we hope you're someone who has picked up the cross of Christ. It's not always an easy life, but it is a life that each one of us can live. We start the process by becoming a Christian. We believe in Christ. We say we're going to not live as people in the world live. That's part of picking up the cross. We confess that Christ is the Son of God. That's why we pick up the cross. And the Bible says we're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, for the forgiveness of our sins. That's a very joyous occasion, but it's also a very serious occasion because it is at that moment that we pick up the cross of Christ. This morning, have we become a Christian? Have we picked up the cross? And are we doing our best to carry that self-denial every single day? That's God's message to us. If this morning you've not yet picked up the cross, we'd like to help you begin that process. If you have and you've set it down somewhere this morning, God wants you to pick it back up. If you need some help carrying the cross, we'd like to aid you in that way as well. If there's anything that we can do for you as a body of people, to pray with you, to study with you, to help you become a child of God, we let us know about that need as we stand and sing the selected song.
Bring Christ your broken life, so marred by sin. He will create a new, make whole again. Your empty, wasted years, He will restore. Lift up thy head. presence shall be ours unto the end. Without him, life would be how dark, how drear. But with him, morning breaks and heaven is near.
Be seated, please.
I know there are some people that are interested in what has happened in Haiti as far as helping. We were trying to go ahead and get some additional information about that. The time that I spent in Florida last week did put me into contact with some people that have a good knowledge of the work there. It looks like, based on what we understand at this particular point in time, a lot of help is flowing in there, and you can have a situation where you just start throwing money at something and the money isn't spent in a good way. And it looks like it's kind of close to that right now. So. Brethren who are really familiar with that, they are suggesting at this point in time to let things level out a little bit, kind of see where things are, and then figure out where some funds have not gone, and then these are the critical areas. So we plan to keep you posted on that and let you know, but just to kind of give you an update right now, that's sort of the thought process. So a lot of help is flowing in there. It looks like about all that can be done is being done right now, and a little bit later we'll see if we can go ahead and offer some additional assistance there. But there are some brethren who have been killed. One of the fellows who is a student where I was lost some extended family members, and there have been several others as well. So it really is a terrible tragedy, and let's continue to be praying for them. Thank you.
This time has been set aside that we can take up an offering so the work in this area can continue. We are commanded to give on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." That includes us. "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So this being the time that was set aside, we're going to have a prayer for the offering, and then we'll pass the plates.
Yeah. You want to offer a prayer?
Dear Lord, we're truly thankful for all the blessings you've brought to us, even when we least deserve it. You always care for us. We pray as we give back to you, with a cheerful, loving, amen.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming today and invite you back this evening at 6 o'clock for another worship. Are there any announcements that need to be made at this time before we dismiss? Please remember the sick, and especially Gary and his family, in your prayers when you go home. Before we leave, we'll sing number 617. Please stand.
Though the way we journey may be often drear, we shall see the King someday. On that blessed morning, clouds will disappear. We shall see the King someday. We shall see the King someday. We will shout and sing someday. Gathered round the throne when He shall call His own, we shall see the King someday. There with all the loved ones who have gone before, we shall see the King someday. Sorrow pass forever on that peaceful shore, we shall see the King someday. We shall see the King someday. We will shout and sing someday. Gathered round the throne when He shall call His own, we shall see the King someday.
Shall we bow? Father, our worship this morning has been to You, Father, recognizing that it's through Your strength and power that we have the abilities that we have. It's through Your strength and power that we have been given a Savior, and Father, we praise You for that. We ask that this day, as we go about the things that we normally do, that You will be with us. We pray that we will meditate upon the word that we've heard this morning. Father, we pray for those who are sick and those who couldn't be with us, that especially those that desire to be, and we pray that You would see that those that minister to them do the kind of job that will bring them back with us. We pray, Father, for Your guidance in all that we do. We ask that You would watch over us as we travel to our homes, and be with us and help us and guide us and help us to make the decision to come back and to worship again at the next appointed hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Yeah. of the numbers. So you had 93 and 16, 51. And then we'll stick those up on this board over here.
Oh, On the way home from church, they, in some cases, they're all pretty strange. They're tablet that